I'd like to actually ask you to take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And then we're going to flip back to another passage, and then I'll pray after that. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Really, in light of what we just sang, I feel like I have to read these two passages. Second Timothy, we're taking a break from 1 Corinthians for just a little bit. I just could not come off of Resurrection Sunday weekend and jump into preaching on spiritual gifts. All right, so I feel like we need to focus on for just a little bit salvation and making sure that we have an understanding of what biblical salvation is. So I want to focus on that, and having just celebrated the resurrection of Christ, it's seems appropriate that last weekend flows into us spending a little bit of time on that. Before we get into the message, though, today in the reading, let's read together our memory verse and then make confession to the Lord. This week's memory verse is Matthew 4, verse 4. If you would join me in reading it aloud. "But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.'" Now let's make confession together, same as we did last week, from Romans 14, verses 7 through 9. "For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living." Amen. With that, I have that passage up there, but I want us to read from 2 Timothy. And then we're going to turn to Luke chapter 19. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'll pick up at verse 8 and read through verse 10. If you'd follow along in your copy of God's Word, this is the living Word of God, which says, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Now, before we move on from there, in light of the song we just sang, again, middle ways of verse 9, "but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus, when? Before time began." Now, if you'll take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter 19. Locate verse 9. I'll read 9 and 10. And then I'd like to offer a short prayer. Luke chapter 19, verse 9. If you've located that, would you say amen? The Bible says there, "And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.'" And may God bless to our hearts the reading of his word. Amen. Let's pray. Father, as we come together today, we try to humble ourselves and quiet ourselves before your word. For your word is exalted above all of your name. Father, I adore you today. So grateful for who you are. You've been so good to us. Your kindness leads us to repentance. Your long-suffering, Lord, is salvation. Your tender mercies are over all of your works. And God, you are thrice holy. Father, we have confessed our sins today, and I'm thankful that we can do that. It's because of your mercy. Thank you for forgiving us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I make supplication now, asking, Lord, that you would bless this time that we have looking at your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would illumine minds today. Some who are still in darkness and need to be transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of your love. Lord, I pray you would translate them, transfer them, convey them because of your living word, that it would have such an effect in their lives, God, that they would be forever changed. I pray you'd give us understanding as we look to your word. Lord, let the Spirit of God, please, reveal to us the mind of God. And Father, I want to lift up our nation's leaders now as well, for we are to do that as a church, and I pray for them and pray you would use them. I pray you would guide them. I pray, God, that you would accomplish your perfect will through them for this nation. And Lord, I pray that we as a church and all churches in this nation who are Bible-believing, Christ-following churches would be able to live quiet and peaceful lives in all godliness and reverence. Lord, I pray for those who are sick. We have many folks in our circles that have very serious diseases, such as cancer. And Lord, we lift up our sister Ruth, lift up Mr. Davis, Aaron's dad, and Father, there are others in that we know, such as the King family, the Jarvis family, and we pray also for Miss Rumbly. Lord, won't you please bring healing? Won't you please provide all that they need? But most, Lord, may they suffer and face their affliction well, bring you glory through it. And Lord, may their hope remain unwavering, a hope that is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I pray now you will help me to deliver your word to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Repentance is what we're talking about today. You can take your Bible and turn to Luke 24. It's where we were last week, and it's really a carry-on from that. Luke 24, verse 47. You're going to keep your Bibles out. If you have a blankless handout, that's not an accident, believe it or not. But it is intended that way. I don't want you to have to worry about writing anything down. If you really need to write, you can underline, scribble, whatever you need to do. Make little asterisks by some of the verses that are particularly helpful to you or you learn from. But I really want us to have our Bibles open. I encourage you to use a hard copy of God's Word. We use our cell phones for everything. The Bible is unique in its purpose. And I encourage you to have a hard copy of God's Word. There's nothing like that for us. We are here in Luke 24, verse 47, and Jesus said, as we looked at it last week, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Why repentance? Why am I focusing on that today? And I really want to try to stay attached to what I hope for in this message. Because I would hope in this message that from the youngest one here who's able to understand to the oldest, that we would be able to follow along and get what the Bible is saying about repentance and how important repentance is to us. Because I know that there may be young people here who are thinking about maybe becoming a Christian, or some who talk about wanting to be baptized and things like that. One of the first things that I would talk to a young person about is when it comes to them wanting to follow the Lord and believers' baptism is, what is repentance? Do you have an understanding of what repentance is? Because so often, you know, we can hear the gospel and say, yeah, I believe that Jesus died on the cross, that he was buried and rose again on the third day. I can believe that. But we fail, and it's not casting stones at anybody, but we fail to experience or know what repentance is. It's a belief on one side of a coin, if you will. If you have a coin, there's a head and a tails. One side, we'll say heads, is faith. The other side, we'll see from the Bible, is repentance. So just as faith is necessary for salvation, repentance is also necessary for salvation. Now, I'm presenting that to you. The question is, as we look at Scripture, will we find that to be true? And I hope that we will as we look through this. I really do hope that we can all gain an understanding on this. So what is repentance? You have it at the top of your handout. Repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of action or behavior. Change of mind that leads to a change of action or behavior. So something happens in our minds that causes us to turn. And that's really what the word means, turn, or to have a change of mind. That change of mind leads to something. If you're here this morning and you're like, man, I've been sitting in this chair for 5 years. Now, we haven't had these chairs that long. If you've been sitting, I've been sitting in this chair for 2 years here at New Life Baptist Church. I do not like this chair anymore. It is way too formed. Never mind. But I want to sit somewhere else. All right, you changed your mind about that chair. And because of your change of mind about your chair, you said, I'm going to sit somewhere else. Repentance is a change of mind about our sin and about God that leads to a change of action or behavior, a change of direction. Let's look at this together. Some of these passages I've placed on the screen. Other ones we will turn to. If they're too far off the beaten path, I have them on the screen. Otherwise, we're going to turn to them. The first one, though, is you see the repentance preached. He said there in Luke 24, because of what Christ has done, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached. So in Mark 1, here we have Jesus, his first words that we have recorded. 14b says, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. All right, so the first thing Jesus is saying, as well as John the Baptist, is repent. All right, now, if you'll take your Bibles, and since we're in Luke, if you take and turn to Luke chapter 13, Luke 13, verses 3 through 5. You kids can follow along in your Bible as well. Have your Bible open, and let's look at these together. You can look around. If a child is having a difficult time finding any of the passages, feel free to help them if you are already there, if you are an adult. It might take us adults a little bit of time to find it. But Luke 13, I'm just going to point out two verses here, not getting a lot into the context. But verse 3, Luke 13, Bible says, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And then if you go to verse 5, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Jesus here is preaching repentance in Luke 13. That was a part of what he said and taught here. If you take your Bibles down and turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Luke wrote not only the Gospel of Luke, but also his second volume, which is Acts. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. We're going to hit some of these verses very quickly here in the book of Acts. I have them all listed for you, everything, unless something comes to my mind that I haven't thought of yet, everything that we're going to look at is on your paper. Acts 2, verse 38, notice this. The first sermon that's preached at Pentecost, when they asked in verse 37, men and brethren, what shall we do? Notice what Peter said in verse 38. The Bible says, then Peter said to them, repent. What's he doing? He is preaching repentance. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you'll go to chapter 3, verse 19. Chapter 3, 19. Still preaching, teaching, evangelizing the same group of people for the most part in Jerusalem in Acts 3, verse 19. You'll notice what he did. It says, repent, therefore, and be converted. Change directions. Be converted. That your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. All right, we've seen two verses so far where he is preaching repentance, just like Jesus told them to do. Repent and let every one of you be baptized. Repent and be converted. Okay? Now, if you'll go with me to Acts chapter 17, verse 30. Acts 17, verse 30. Now listen, I know maybe the young kids can kind of get folk distracted, think that I'm just teaching or trying to preach to the older folks during the Sunday morning. I'm not, especially not today. I want you to work hard. If you're a child in a home, I want you to work hard this morning at listening and learning, because what I'm telling you is absolutely necessary for your salvation. If you will be saved, you must repent. Therefore, please listen and please work hard at learning what we're talking about today. In Acts 17, verse 30, again, I'm not getting into the context. I want to point you to the verses. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Now, if you'll go with me to Acts 20, verse 21. Here, the apostle's talking about what he has taught the church in Ephesus. And he says, I'll start at verse 20, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks. What did he testify? What did he teach publicly? What did he teach that was profitable? Verse 21. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So we see the coin there. Did you see the coin in that passage? One side has on it repentance toward who? God. And the other side has faith toward who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Listen, everyone, please. This passage is telling us that that which is profitable, that which is necessary for a person to be saved from their sins and be right with God is repentance toward God. We've changed directions. We're now living a Godward life. And we have faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, our faith is directed toward Him. We are looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Okay? That's when that begins. All right? So, repentance preached. Now, we're going to go to our second point. And this is repentance described. We saw there in verse 21 that it is repentance toward God. What I want to try to do here in this next section is answer the question, because you might be saying, well, what does that look like? What does it look like to have a repentance that is toward God? All right, my goal in this section is to try to answer that question. Now, I think I have this first one on the screen for us because it's a little off the beaten path. 1 Thessalonians 1:9. If you pay attention to the screen or look at it in your Bible if you're turning there. But here's what it says about the Thessalonians. It says, "For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how," now notice this bolded and underlined part, "and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." Now listen, there's a whole lot in this passage that we can glean. Do you see repentance? You don't see the word in here, but do you see repentance in this passage? Where is it found? It's found in the phrase, "how you," what? "Turn," right, "how you turned to" who? "To God." Remember Acts 20:21, repentance toward God. All right, what did they turn from? They turned from idols. Now here's a very key part. To do what? To serve the living and true God. Now I want to take just a moment and point this out, especially to young people who maybe are thinking about baptism, becoming a Christian. You see, that verse right there well captures what repentance is. We're turning to God. We're turning from the idols of this world, maybe even from our own selves as being an idol. But notice that last part. When you are saying, "I want to become a Christian, I want to follow Christ," it means that you're saying, "I'm turning to God to serve the living and true God." So whether, no matter what age you are, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 20, it doesn't matter. As you turn to God, you're saying, "All right, I'm living my life from this point on to serve the one who has given his son to die for my sins. I want to serve not the dead God, but the living and the true God. I'm devoting my life to serve him." That doesn't mean you being a preacher necessarily, though I want to say this. Why aren't some of our men saying as a young person, "I want to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ"? If any group of people ought to be producing that, it ought to be New Life Baptist Church. Some of our young men need to be thinking beyond just earning a living and getting a job one day, but thinking, "I want to be a deacon in the church. I want to be an elder in the church. I want to preach the Word of God. I've been given all of this training and learning. I want to take it and apply it for the glory of God." Just, I don't know where that came from, but I think it's worth saying. You know, serve the living and true God. Here's another one. Jonah. That was way off the beaten path, isn't it? Jonah chapter 3. You know, he preached a 8-word sermon. "Yet in 40 days, Nineveh shall be destroyed." And the response was magnificent. But here's a conclusion of it, okay, from Jonah 3:10. It says, "Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way." You see repentance in that? And then it says, "God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it." Now notice this, Matthew 12:41. Jesus speaking about what happened in Nineveh. He says, "The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it because they" what? "Repented at the preaching of Jonah." And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. What we're doing right now is we're describing repentance. What does repentance toward God look like? We can see in this passage, Jonah, when he preached, the Ninevites turned to God from their evil ways. So So in other words, what they were doing, that evil way in which they were engaged in, and it was easy for them to see the evil. That they turned from it, they stopped doing it, and therefore God relented from His judgment that He had upon them. Now let's take our Bibles back open to Luke chapter 3. You were in Acts. Now if you take your Bible and go back to Luke 3, these works of turning to God, the works that He saw the Ninevites do, I want to point out to you practically what this would have looked like in that day to hopefully help us see that when we repent today and we desire to follow Christ in repentance, that there are practical ways that that ought to be seen in our lives. All right, so we're in Luke chapter 3. This is where John the Baptist is preaching and he is baptizing. And we'll pick up there at verse 7. Everybody got it? If you've got it, say amen. Bible says, Then he said to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of" what? "Repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones." Verse 9, "And even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." So the people asked him, saying, "What shall we do then?" And now from this point, I'll point out to you what John says as works or fruits of repentance. Here's what it looked like, verse 11. "He answered and said to them, 'He who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise.'" Verse 12. "Then tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, 'Teacher, what shall we do?'" Verse 13. "And he said to them, 'Collect no more than what is appointed for you.'" Verse 14. "Likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, 'And what shall we do?'" In other words, "And what shall we do to repent?" "So he said to them, 'Do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages.'" Here are about three or four examples of what fruit of repentance was to look like for that generation that John was preaching to and who came to John wanting to be baptized. So I submit to you today that repentance for us sometimes looks like very practical things that no one else may even notice. But we make a change of behavior because we've had a change of mind about our sin, ourselves, and about God. Therefore, we act differently. The next one is in Luke 15. Luke 15, if you'd please follow me there, Luke chapter 15. And this also sort of plays into or describes the repentance celebrated. So in the first part, that's what we'll see, but then we will find the latter part to be, I hope, helpful. Again, I'm not reading all of this. If you're familiar with your Bibles, and I hope that you are, Luke 15 is a wonderful chapter where there are three lost things. What are the lost things? Anybody know? What's the first one in this chapter? Lost what? Lost sheep. And then what's the second lost thing in this chapter? Lost coin. And then what's the last thing that's lost? Lost son. All right, now if you'll notice with me in verse 7. This is in the lost sheep. I'm not reading all of it. I just want to point out these passages. Verse 7. After that lost sheep was found, it says, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. All right? A sinner who repents, there is joy in where? Heaven. Now, if you'll go down to verse 10, Luke 15, verse 10. Likewise, this is after the coin is found as a parable here, but he says, likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who what? Repents. All right? So, that's clear enough. Now, if you will go down here to the latter part, the parable of the prodigal son. Not going to read all of it. I'm sure that you're familiar with it. You have the passage. You can go back and read it later if you need to. But if you'll look at verse 17. In verse 17, the Bible says about this prodigal son who had gone off. Prodigal means he wasted all of his father's inheritance that he had asked for. He went off to a foreign land and wasted it. He's eating pig food. He has nothing anymore. In verse 17, but when he came to himself, your Bible might say, if you have a New American Standard Bible, he came to his senses. But it says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with this hunger? Notice what it says, I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was what? Dead, but is what? Alive. He was what? And is. And they began to be merry. What made the difference? Do you notice there in that passage in verse 17, he came to him, to himself. It happened here. And it resulted in him going toward who? The Father. When we have biblical repentance, repentance unto salvation, it causes us to turn, to change our mind, and to then go toward the Father, go toward God. That is where our repentance is directed. And you'll notice at the end in verse 32, it says, it was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Friends, I just want to try to point out to you, every one of us, that for us to no longer be lost, but to be found spiritually, for us to no longer be dead spiritually, but to be alive, then we must have repentance as a part of our experience of salvation. Without it, there is no spiritual life. Without it, there is no being found by the Savior. Repentance is very important. If you take your Bibles, are y'all seeing the importance of it? Honestly, if it was just me and a couple of you sitting in a room, we were going over this, would you be like, yeah, I'm seeing this? All right. Luke 19 now. Luke 19. This is one of my favorite examples of repentance. Because this is a well-known story of Zacchaeus here. And I do think that I'll read all of this, verses 1 through 10. And we need to be wrapping things up. But Luke 19, beginning at verse 1. Have you got it? If you got it, say, got it. All right, verse 1. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. This is what we read to open today, verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, here, question, do y'all see repentance in this passage? Where? How? His actions. Right. What verse? Verse 8. The word repentance isn't found here, but it's seen. Because Zacchaeus gave half of his goods to the poor, and for those from whom he had taken anything by false accusation, he restored fourfold. Let me give you a contrast to this. Who was not willing to give up his earthly possessions and follow Christ? The rich young ruler, chapter 18, verses 18 through 23. When he was told to give up all that he has and to come follow Christ, he went away sorrowful because he was very rich. Repentance he did not have. Zacchaeus did have repentance. And you'll notice there about Zacchaeus, he was a son of who? Abraham. What is Abraham known for? He's known for his what? Faith. He believed God. Zacchaeus believed God. And because he believed God, believed about Christ, who he was, his faith was not one, his salvation was not one-sided with just faith, which is no salvation. His salvation was two-sided. It had faith on one side, it had repentance on the other side. And it resulted, well, it was what it is. It caused him his life to be changed. Well, in closing, Luke 23, verse 40. Remember that thief on the cross? Boy, I've heard that so many times. But what about the thief on the cross? But what about the thief on the cross? J.C. Ryle's quote about the thief on the cross is so great. There was only one thief that none may presume. There was only one thief that was saved on the cross that none may presume. But there was only one thief that none may despair. You see, people want to bring up the thief on the cross. Well, he didn't do anything. Look at this verse. Matthew 27, verse 44. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. The verse that we have before us. See, he was reviling. But in Luke 23, verse 40. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." I would submit to you this morning that hanging on that cross next to the Son of God, that thief repented. Because he changed from reviling the Son of God to reviling the one who was reviling the Son of God. And he said, "This man has done nothing wrong." And he looked to Christ and Christ alone for his salvation. That's what repentance will cause us to do. Let's pray. Father, my words are just so inadequate to be able to, my ability to try to communicate this so feeble and inadequate. I wish I could do a better job. Lord, I wish I could make it more clear. But God, I really know ultimately that if you don't take your word and the Holy Spirit doesn't apply it to blinded eyes, we can't get it. Lord, I pray, please use your word. That's my hope. I pray through the word read, taught a little bit, seen, heard, Father, that we have a better understanding of repentance and how absolutely necessary it is for salvation. Please continue to teach us as we continue to look at this in later services. And God, please bring life from it. In Jesus' name, amen.